dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I'm free indeed.
Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And I'm reading to you from my brand new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days. We've been talking about lunar eclipses. And there's a part of my book that says, and my call to answer, to help the prayers. So there was a night in my life when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was at a 10-day seminar with Kenneth Hagin and Clara Grace, a prophetess of God. This was 1967, April 24th, gave a prophecy, amazing prophecy, concerning the people who were in that room that night. But little did we know that that very night was the first night of a blood moon tetrad. So I've been talking about that. You can go back on the archives and listen. You can also get the book. I'll tell you at the end of the broadcast how to do that. We've been talking about the tetrads, the blood moon tetrads, but this year we've had blood moon tetrads on Passover and Tabernacles, Passover, and we're getting ready for Tabernacles again, September 28th, 2015. But the thing about it is, in this year, there were solar eclipses on the New Year's days between the tetrads. So that's where I begin in my book, page 36. Since ancient times, Jews have kept two main calendars, a civic year and a sacred year. The civic calendar is the older. It begins with Rosh Hashanah in the autumn and counts time from the creation of Adam. The keeping of the sacred calendar was commanded by the Lord the night they came out of Egypt, the night of the first Passover. The sacred calendar begins in the biblical month of Aviv, Hebrew for spring. They now call this month Nisan. Exodus 12:1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and leavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Solar eclipses mark the first days of both calendar years that the Jews keep, the civil and the sacred, that begin during the span of the blood moon's tetrad of 2014 and 2015. An extremely rare total solar eclipse could be seen in the far north regions of Earth on the first day of the sacred calendar year, the first of the Hebrew month Nisan. The Gregorian calendar date was March 20th, 2015. Roots Source is an internet online place. It's got co-founders. One of them is Bob Odell, a Christian, and the other one is a rabbi. I'm not sure he's a rabbi, but at least he's Orthodox Jewish. And Bob Odell, a Christian who has studied lunar and solar astronomical events for more than 35 years, discovered that 2 weeks before the Passover blood moon on April 4th, 2015, an exceedingly rare solar eclipse, and at that time he said, will be taking place. There will be a total eclipse of the sun for 2 minutes over the North Pole on Friday, March 20th, the day of the spring equinox, which coincides with the beginning of the Hebrew month of Nisan, the first month in the biblical calendar year, a solar occurrence that has never happened before in human history. The occurrence and rarity of this natural event, together with the times in which we live, indicates the finger of God, said Gideon Ariel, an Israeli Orthodox Jew and co-founder of Root Source. A total solar eclipse at the North Pole on the first day of spring occurs once every 100,000 years. And it occurred. This year, it's never happened in human history. Think of it. The North Pole is the place. It doesn't belong to anyone. It's no nation owns it. It's the North Pole, and it symbolizes the whole Earth. And there was there a total solar eclipse. That's where it could be seen. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the civil year. That's over in the autumn. In 2014, Rosh Hashanah begins the evening of September 13, and there will be a partial solar eclipse on that date. Now back to Tulsa on April 24, 1967. That night in Tulsa, April 24, 1967, was a night of far greater prophetic significance than anyone present in Kenneth Hagin's seminar on the Holy Spirit could have imagined. Did things change in the world? Monumentally. Did things change in my life and in the lives of other ministers who were there? Prodigiously and forever. Though it took some time to realize how much. Moving in the Spirit. And Jesus, Luke 4:1, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit. That's just what happened to my family in 1967. At first, right after I was filled with the Spirit, we were led to be in every Holy Ghost meeting we could get to. The Honeyeggers, Dr. Honeyegger and Allie, took us to hear Dr. Hilton Sutton every time that anointed prophecy teacher from Texas was anywhere near. It was thrilling to hear him throughout his long life, but it was especially exhilarating to hear him the year Israel got back Jerusalem. Through his teachings, the Lord awakened me to what was happening in Israel and the nations, and that the coming of the Lord was on the horizon. We particularly went to every seminar Kenneth E. Hagin held in his office building, where I had first met the Holy Spirit in a new dimension. I would call out to the children, ages 4, 6, 8, and 9, "Come and get in and get cleaned up. We're going to church tonight." "Which one?" they would ask. "Our church or the Praise the Lord church?" That pretty well explains a difference that existed. Then, perhaps to change me, to free me from religiosity, the Spirit moved us to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We thought it was Kent's work that was taking him there, and we decided we would move as a family before school started in the fall. The summer of 1967, the Honeyeggers also took us to Full Gospel Businessmen's Meetings, FGBMFI. That long acronym stands for the long name of an organization the Lord used mightily to bring people together and into the baptism with the Holy Spirit in those exciting days of the charismatic move. Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International was divinely planted in the heart of Demas Shakarian, and I highly recommend to you his books, The Happiest People, his book, The Happiest People on Earth. We went to, and you're going to read there, an amazing supernatural event that occurred with Russians and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time people here were receiving at Azusa. We went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's banquet in Tulsa just before we moved to Louisiana, and the speaker was a physician from Baton Rouge, Dr. Jerry Malilly Sr. After the meeting, I went up to him and asked, "Do you know of a good Baptist church we could go to in Baton Rouge?" "Oh, yes," he replied, and he recommended Bethany Baptist in Baker. The move of the Spirit at Bethany, oh my. We moved to Baton Rouge in August of 1967, and soon after, we drove out Plank Road and found the sign Bethany Baptist Church. The Baptist part of the sign was later dropped off. Today, Bethany has thousands of members, huge campuses and churches around the world, but then it was small, just a seed of what would come. But that little seed was alive like a Mexican jumping bean, and I do mean jumping. Pastor Roy Stockstill had led a large denominational church in Baton Rouge when he received the baptism with the Holy Spirit during the charismatic move. He stepped away from that pastorate, and just 4 days before we got there, he started a small non-denominational church in Bethany. When we found the place, the building itself was comparatively small. But in the years we were there, from 1967 to 1970, there was a constant need for more room and an ongoing building program. Now back to the jumping. I recently met Pastor Larry Stockstill, Roy's son, at an Awakening America Alliance meeting we both attended. Larry and I, and two others with him who were at Bethany when we were there, reminisced about the praise and worship in those early days. In all the years since, and I have been in hundreds of worship services, I have never seen the anointing we experienced every service at Bethany. As I remember it, a rather sober-faced organist took her place at the instrument. But the moment her hands dropped to the keyboard, the Holy Ghost fell every time. Two people stand out in my memory, Windmill Prophet and Twirly Bird. Windmill would move around the front with the music, swooping with his arms like a windmill. It's been a long time ago, but it seems to me his eyes were closed. Twirly Bird was a diminutive little lady who spun like a top, sometimes until she dropped. The entire congregation ascended together to the heights in worship, and it wasn't somber. It was filled with joy and life. I particularly remember watching Pastor Brother Roy's wife, Ruth, eyes closed, hands lifted, her face seemed to light up, especially when we sang the hymn, Higher Ground. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit operated at Bethany. I remember one time in particular, and to tell you the truth, I was what might be called a little backslidden. You see, it was the first time in my life I had lived in a city. From childhood, I'd lived in small towns where everyone knew who I was and who my parents were. So since I was working at the time when we first got to Baton Rouge, I fell into the habit of skipping church. No one would know. And some other things. One rainy morning driving to work, I entered an intersection too soon and a car going too fast took the motor off the front of my car. The hand of God kept me alive. Shaken but unscratched, I called Kent, who was at home that morning. I was worried because it could have been my fault and I didn't have a Louisiana driver's license. He and the children made a circle and praised God for my safety, asking him to intervene on my behalf. Their prayer was answered. The very next Sunday, I got my family and myself to church. The moment I walked into the classroom, the Sunday school teacher visibly reacted at seeing me. She said, "When I was combing my hair and looking into the mirror this week, I saw your face, and I prayed for you. I also prayed that you would be here today." We hadn't been going there long enough for her even to know my name. The Holy Ghost had alerted her to pray. There's too much to tell about our time in Baton Rouge, but Bethany took much of the religiosity out of me. After 3 years, the next place M.W. Kellogg had worked for Kent was in Pennsylvania. I wanted to go with Kent, but he thought it would be better for the children for us to move back to our home in Collinsville. He said he was sure work would open up again in Oklahoma and he would get back as soon as he could. I was adamant against it. One Sunday night, we had company and were late heading to church, so we stopped at a closer church with which Bethany had good fellowship. They were in special meetings. The song service was going on when we walked in. The visiting minister, who did not know us, stopped the music and walked straight back and stood in front of Kent and began to prophesy, "You have the plan of the Lord." So the children and I moved back into the stately White House in Collinsville that we bought after I saw the ad in the Tulsa World. But I missed Kent. After the children went to school, I was lonely, so I looked in the want ads of that same newspaper and saw the ad, "Wanted, part-time bookkeeper, spirit-filled, 3 days a week, 1029 North Utica." "Why, that's Brother Hagin's place," I thought. Long story short, I got the job. We would be glad to send you a copy I've been reading from my new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days, and My Call to Help the Prayers. You can call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447 and request Billy's new book or How You Can Pray in the End of Days. And for $10, we'll send it to you and we will include the shipping. Now you might have to wait a little bit because it's going to be probably middle of May when it's ready. But go ahead and give us a call and we'll send it to you when we get it. Shabbat Shalom. Go to church Sunday.